It's good to be with you all this morning. And I really love the worship. And we sang that song, How Great Is Our God. How Great Is Our God. Last week we sang that in Desborough Park, in Maidenhead, as a prophetic declaration to the whole area. And it was wonderful. You know, it was, you know, when I was prayed into the leadership role a couple of weeks ago, Billy and Caroline Kennedy were up, who lead Pioneer, and she gave us a prophetic word as a church, saying that we'd had a long time of training and preparation, and actually it was a real time to impact our communities, to love our communities, to take the good news out into our communities. And for me, that was a confirmatory word, because when I took on the role of leading Maidenhead back in January, the Lord said to me, one of the key things was, from Isaiah chapter 40, about getting up on a high mountain, getting to a visible place, to a high place, and shouting out with a loud voice, here is your God. You know, the bearer of good news, it was commanded to get out to a high place. And we are bearers of good news. There's no one that has news like what we've got. There is no one that carries that message of love so thoroughly and so deeply as we do, as children of God. And so last week we were there. We were able to mourn with those who mourn. Some people in the community came up to see me on the Saturday during our fun day and said, look, someone died in the community this week. Will you pray for them tomorrow in the service? Will you pray for their two daughters they've left behind, a 40-year-old man? So we had the privilege of praying, being a priest in the community, and praying for that the mourning that was going on. We rejoiced with those who rejoiced. You know, there were those who were saying, it's fantastic what you're doing. We've never seen the park so full. We've never seen the park so full of life. We usually could do this every month. And we're thinking, oh, you don't know how much work this takes. And at the race night, one guest couple said it was the best night of their lives. You know, so we rejoiced with those who rejoiced. We were healing the sick, as Dave said. You know, we were setting up our healing on the streets type thing to start off at Larchfield. And that week, we had so much come against us in setting up the healing on the streets. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Because when we begin healing on the streets, we kneel on the floor and pray. That week, Kerry Davis, who's been leading us into getting the staff, the equipment, everything ready, damaged both her knees. Within half an hour, in two separate falling incidents. Now, she never falls. You know, she's a fit young lady. She fell twice within half an hour, damaged one knee and then the other. So she came with her knees strapped up. So it was very painful for her to kneel. And we arrived, and the equipment was all wrong. The banner we ordered, which is supposed to be a 4 or 5 meter high banner, which just says healing, actually said schools outreach or something, schools missions, which was crazy. So we couldn't use that. And the PA, well, the two bits which were supposed to fit together didn't fit together. So nothing was right. So while we were in the confusion of setting up and praying about what to do, and we actually painted our own banner called Healing. We just painted it and thought we'd go on anyway. Some kids rode up on their bikes, and one of them said, what are you doing? We said, well, we believe that God loves you. God loves people. He loves to heal them. And we should be praying for the sick, praying for those that are hurting, believing that God's going to touch them. And he said, will you pray for me? As only a young kid would. Will you pray for me? I've just fallen off my bike and my leg hurts. So he said, yeah, of course we'll pray for you. And Kerry Davis kneels down in front of him. She looks him in the eye and says to him, how much God loves him. That's wonderful. That's a real privilege. I don't know if you've ever done that with anybody. To look them in the eye, just from a few feet away. Just, you know, the Bible says the eye is a window of the soul. And you look someone in the eye and say something that powerful. The Lord loves you. God loves you. You know that. There's something, it's powerful, it's deep, it impacts. And anyway, this boy was told that. And then we prayed for him. And he said, oh my God, it works. I know some Christians who will say that. Oh my God, it works. And the thing that I took delight from, obviously the healing was great. But it was the words he used. You know, it was just kind of almost like a blasphemy, I guess, things he would always say. But for me, to have a Larchfield lad shout that out, oh my God, I'm taking that as a kind of prophetic declaration that there's going to be people there that are going to declare that. My God, and own him, own Jesus for themselves. So, you know, we had a fantastic time. I won't fill up the whole time, otherwise I won't go on to talk about what we're talking about. But it was great to be out in the community. It was really good to be bearers of good news, to be declaring the love of God to the community in that way. So, when I was prayed into the role again a couple of weeks ago, I shared with the church that I felt what the Lord has spoken to me about a kind of journey that we're on as a church, where in the time of Alistair's leadership, the emphasis was on the Holy Spirit, on spiritual gifts. And during the time of Kristen's leadership, it was on the presence of God, on Emmanuel, God with us, God's Son. And how I felt from a time of just sitting with the Lord by the river, that when I asked him, why have you put me in this place? He said to me, I want this season within River Church to have an emphasis of fatherhood. And I want you to lead in fathering. I want you to lead in that. And so I shared a little bit about that on the morning. And Helen said, would you come to Marlow and say a bit more on that? So I said, of course I would. Not having much time in between now and then. But I want to do that this morning. To speak about the heart of the Father a little bit. Are you ready? I just feel prompted by the Spirit to ask you the question, what do you see? Not looking at me. What do you see? What do you see this morning? What are you expecting this morning? That's the question. I really feel I should ask that. What are you expecting? Because 9 times out of 10, you will get what you expect. I want you to ask that seriously. What have you come expecting? Have you come expecting to hear the voice of the Lord this morning? Are you expecting the Spirit to speak to you? Now, it may be easy for all of us to nod and say, yes, of course we are, Colin. That's what we always do on Sundays. But I'm asking you really, really, to be honest with yourself and say, what am I seeing this morning? What have I come expecting? Have I just come expecting to spend the usual 2 hours? Or have I come expecting to have a revelation? Because I want us always to come with a fresh expectation that actually something will be different this morning. That God is able to do something different this morning for me, to speak to me, to release something new to me, because I am not the finished article. None of us are. So Holy Spirit, I just want to give you that permission right up front to say, we are hungry. We are hungry and desperate. Our soul cries out. Our soul cries out. That psalmist says, like a deer that's in a waterless place, we pant, we groan, Father, we want more of your Spirit, more of you. We say, speak to us this morning. The words of life. I want to read out a little passage from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. And see if we can learn anything from it about what it might mean to have an emphasis on the Father, on the Father's heart. Paul is writing, he says, for this reason. Now, for this reason, you know, obviously that means there's something gone on beforehand. And he spent 2.5 chapters getting to this point, talking about the wonderful things that God has for us in Christ, talking about God's wonderful plans for us in Christ, talking about our wonderful position in Christ. Amazing things, amazing blessings that God has. The amazing privilege that we have as his children. He's talked about all of that. And now he gets to this point. He says, for this reason, I, Paul, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I love the fact that God is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. All that we've come prepared for this morning, God is able to do far more abundantly beyond. All that we're expecting of this week, God is able to do far more abundantly beyond. All that you guys at Deep Cut are expecting that he might do in the coming months and weeks and years, God is able to do far more abundantly above and beyond what you're hoping for, what you're thinking of. And this passage addresses some fundamental questions. It helps us address some fundamental questions like, who am I? And how do I become all that I'm meant to be? Deep, deep questions. And the answer it gives is a simple one. Really, it's profoundly simple, because some of the most profound things are simple. And the way it says is to understand the heart of the Father towards us. And I'm going to talk about a few things. It says it means that as a whole church, you know, we need to grow in our understanding of what Father heart means, in Father's heart towards us in the world. I'm going to look at his heart, which is to name us his children. His heart to provide for us. His heart to strengthen and protect us. And his heart to see us become all that we were made for, all that we were meant for, to attain fullness. So let's look at that first. The first point I want to look at, the Father's name. Father's name. He says, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Now we're used to that. Fathers give their names to children, don't they? Their name to the children in our culture. I give my name to Rachel, Emmy and John. The question is, where do we get our name from this morning? Who are we allowing to name us? Because we all choose that to a certain extent. Okay, I'm not talking about our actual names here. I'm talking about much deeper. Much, much deeper. Because in a sense, I am Colin Barnes, and you who are who you are. But there's something much more profoundly deep about who I am and who you are. And that's what I'm touching on this morning. Who are you? Who am I? Because some people, when you talk about their identity, about who they are, they will start to immediately think about their parents. They'll start to immediately think about their family. That's right. That affects who we are. They'll start to immediately think about where they live, the community they're a part of. Yes, we're all affected by that. Some people might get their identity from their jobs, what they do week by week. You know, some people that do that, take them out of their role and all of a sudden they're lost. They don't know who they are anymore. Some get their identity from their cars or their clothes. Take those away and they feel a bit naked. They're not sure who they are anymore. In a sense, in a very real sense, they'd be naked. But if you replace them with other clothes, they wouldn't be. The question I want to ask you is to put that out of your mind. And really, seriously, to ask yourself the question, who am I? Close your eyes just for a minute. And ask yourself that fundamental question, who am I? Substitute your name in there. Who is Colin Barnes? Who is Tim Nelson or Natalie or Mary? Who are you? Because you can open your eyes now. I want to suggest, actually, we should all have the same answer to that. In one level, the most important and profound and deep level, we're children of God. I am a child of God. Dearly loved child of God. And when we understand that, the whole world changes. It's like on that Matrix film. You swallow the blue pill and everything looks different. You're in a different world. You know, that happened to me at the age of 24. I became a Christian and the world was transformed in a day. It looked completely different. I felt different about myself. I felt I felt a joy, I felt a peace. I knelt down and prayed. I said, God, if you're there, I didn't know. God, if you're there, come into my life. I had no idea if he was there or not. I prayed that prayer. And God never turns away from a prayer like that. A person reaching out to him. And he met me. And the next morning, I woke up, felt completely different. The world looked completely different. Because when you know you're a child of God, the world is completely different. When you know you're loved that much, the world is completely different. When you know you're accepted, the world is completely different. When you know you have a purpose, there's a destiny, a plan over your life, the world is completely different. It's just true. It's amazing that the amount of peace and joy that comes to our hearts when we know that. If you don't know that this morning, the best thing you could ever do is to make that prayer. If you're there, Lord, come into my life. I need you. I promise you, the best move you will ever make. You know, but it doesn't stop there. Because sometimes there are times we need to rename ourselves. We need to name ourselves again. We need to choose to be named by the Father again. To choose to have our identity in the Father again. Because sometimes the world knocks it out of us. We forget who we are. It happened to me. We forget who we are. It's possible. Sometimes that's because we get dragged away by sin. Yeah, sometimes it's because we get dragged away by the things that our body wants. And we fall that way. We forget who we are. We get to the point where we are no longer who we should be. And we find it difficult to find a way back. Sometimes it's because actually we just got distracted. We stopped putting the main things first, the important things first, and we just got distracted by other good things which aren't quite as good. And we've just lost our identity, who we are. We no longer wake up with that same feeling of closeness to the Lord. God feels distant. We feel like a little bit disqualified from being a child. Sometimes in that place is not the time to push back or to hang back and say, maybe God will do something, maybe it will be different next week. That is the time to rename yourself. That is the time we have to rename ourselves. You know, it's like the prodigal son. When we come to our senses, that's the time to return. It's not to worry whether you'll be accepted or not. We know that the Father will throw a party for us. No matter what the reasons for our distance were, he will throw a party. That is the day. The day is the day to push in again. Today, there are some people in this room, actually, that is a word for you now. You felt distant. Actually, today is the day to push in. Forget what's gone behind. It's a new day, and you can claim your identity as a child of God today because God is gracious and God is good and he is accepting and he will throw a party for you. That's the Father's heart. You know, I experienced that myself. I said to you, I grew distant from God and dry. And I was crying out. I said, I didn't know what to do. And I remember praying under a statue of John Wesley one morning in London. Completely dry, completely, you know, just knowing I was in the wrong place, but didn't know how to change it. Just crying to God. And that night, Ken McGreevy from Ichthus came over and was preaching in our church. And he preached a very simple message which spoke to my heart. But then he picked me out afterwards. He said, stand up. And he said, I see Jesus Christ coming towards you and grabbing hold of your hands in friendship. And just saying how pleased he was to see you. And I started to cry. Because I didn't deserve that. It's my own fault where I got to where I got to. My own dryness. But the heart of the Father is to say, oh, I'm glad you're back. I'm so glad you're back. It's good to see you. And he said he saw me getting momentum again, and then giving me a shove and telling me it's time to adventure again. God is so gracious. Today is the day to push in. Don't allow the enemy to keep you separate or to keep you distant one more day than is necessary. The Father will throw a party for you today. Today. You know, his heart is always to run after the lost. The Father will leave the 99 and go after the one. His heart is always looking out for the returning son. Always hoping, always praying, always willing us to come back to him. So that's the Father's name. Who are we going to be named by? Name yourself a child of God. Everything changes the moment we do that. Everything changes. Our priorities change. Our joys change. Our hopes change. Everything changes. Life comes. Secondly, provision. The Father's provision. Paul says, he prays that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. He's already prayed in chapter 1 that they would know the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Paul's well aware of God's riches, God's glorious inheritance that he has for us. Like the older son and the prodigal son didn't. You know, his father said to him, all I have is yours, and you can have it whenever you like. A lot of Christians like that. A lot of us are like that. We work for the Lord. We do what we think. We get on our knees and pray. We go out and serve. We try and love one another. We try and do the right thing. Thanks, Si. Bless you, mate. But a lot of us don't actually ask the Father for much. And yet he's waiting to be asked. He says, I do miserably more than above and beyond what we ask. Incredibly. He's generous. He's a generous father. He's not a stingy father. He's not a poor father. He's a rich father. The cattle on a thousand hills, as someone used to tell me all the time. A rich father. Yes, that provision is financial. It's true. It's financial. He knows we need it. Jesus talked a lot about money. It's financial. It's emotional. It's spiritual. In fact, wherever there's a need, his heart is to provide for us. I can give you example after example from my own life. When I lived in Marlow, I'm coming home as someone reminded me this morning. I lived in Marlow for 12 years. And when I first moved into Marlow back in 1989, that's a long time ago, I remember going, I had nothing in my house, nothing in my room. I needed some somewhere to hang my clothes. So I thought I'd go out and get a wardrobe. I didn't know anything about Marlow. I'd never been in Marlow much. So I thought I'd go and see what shops were in Marlow. Big mistake, okay? If you're a lad starting out in life and you want to go and buy a wardrobe, don't look in Marlow. It'll only depress you. But I met someone on the way out, another guy in the church, and he said, how you doing, what you doing? You just pass the time. Yeah, I'm just going out shopping for a wardrobe, blah, blah. Carried and walked into town. About an hour later, I had a screaming headache. I had to go back and lie down. So I went back and lied down. I didn't have a wardrobe. I was thoroughly depressed about that. I was woken up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, knock on the door. The guy I bumped into in the street was there with a friend saying, and they were carrying a wardrobe. Fantastic. I didn't need to buy one. It was given, brought to my door. I didn't even have to go and get it. That's just a little example. But we've known that time and time again. When I was on Radnet, taking a year out to study theology in London, money was an issue for us. I planned a year that I thought we could just about get by on the money if I sold my car. And I needed to sell it by about May, June at the latest, and to get through to August. I would live off that money for the last 4 months. So I started to sell it around about February. I thought, a nice Audi, it will sell, And would it sell? No. Week slipped by after week slipped by, and nothing happened. I didn't get one offer, not one phone call. And it gets to May, and we're not sure where our money to pay the mortgage is going to come from next month. And someone phones me up on the way to the office and asked me to buy a pint of milk, 2 pints of milk on the way in, and I cried. I cried. Because that was a big deal to me. A couple of quid, whatever it was. I can't remember what it was, about £1.20 or something ridiculous, 4 pints of milk. And I cried. Because I had to claim the money back. It's ridiculous. And mind you, I obviously wasn't trusting God enough. But that month, literally that month, I received a gift of £500 from someone in this congregation. So they know who they are. And also that month, the company that I'd taken a sabbatical from was not working for, started to pay me £1,000 a month. So I didn't need to sell my car. Father provided. Now, I just tell you that because that's an encouragement to me. I hope it is to you. God is a generous God. sometimes we get pushed to the limit. Sometimes we are brought to tears by the trials. But actually, he is faithful. He is faithful. I could tell you another similar story when we came back from Nepal about money, but I haven't got time. But again, you know, God is faithful. He provides for us. Sometimes he provides for us even before we know we have a need ourselves. Sometimes, actually, we have to persevere and push and push and push and keep praying and wait and be patient. Like Abraham, you know, 25 years for his son. We've forgotten what it is to be patient in our country. We have to wait 5 minutes to get up for petrol. You know, it's a nightmare. In Nepal, you know, they wait for 2 or 3 days, and sometimes they're not sure if they're going to get it. We've lost that kind of thing, to be patient and to know that God is going to provide. And to push in and to carry on believing. Not to give up, but to keep fighting, to keep pushing, to keep dreaming, actually to keep believing. Love believes all things, it says in 1 Corinthians 13. Hopes all things. Never gives up, never fails. So that's the Father's provision. The Father's strength. You know, he prays that it will be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner being. Oh, how we all need that. I was just talking with someone before the meeting. Desperately, we want to know the spirit in us, the spirit of God, the power of God in us, strengthening us. And any good father wants his children to grow strong, to overcome. God's no different. He wants us to be strong, to be able to withstand in the evil day, as it says in Ephesians, later on in chapter 6 of Ephesians, in the day of evil, to stand in the fight. Sometimes we need strength just to fight, because so much is being thrown at us, all we can do is stand. That's not wrong, that's a season, because we're living in a war zone, we know that. There's a war between good and evil. Sometimes all we can do is stand, and the Father gives us the power to stand. Other times he gives us the power to overcome. To set free, to mend broken things by his spirit. We're anointed, it says, doesn't it, by his spirit to mend broken hearts. We're anointed to do that as children of God. When we claim that identity, we're anointed by his spirit to mend broken things in the name of Jesus. As a father, I'm always mending broken things. You know, I could tell you a story of a guy's life. That, you know Rock Solid Dave. When I first met him, I met him in a flat. He was depressed. He was suicidal. Darkened room. Parkinson's disease. And yet, 9 months later, he got saved. He named himself. He let himself be named by God. He'd become a child of God. He got free. He actually found joy. He found peace. He found hope for the future. And then he found healing for Parkinson's and was able to run for the first time in 8 years. That is amazing. That is an amazing story. An amazing story. God gives us that power. You know, my brother Mark, when I think of those who have to stand against trials, my brother Mark always comes to my mind. You know, in Hebrews it says the world was not worthy then. Doesn't it, about the heroes of faith? The world was not worthy. They lived in holes in the ground. They were persecuted, beaten, and all the rest of it. The world was not worthy of them. That's often true. My brother is an example where the world is not worthy of him. When I think of the things he's had to withstand, he's been falsely accused 3 times in his life and been forced to step down from work for a season and then been reinstated. Once he was accused of beating a child, falsely. Once he was accused of mishandling money in another company, falsely. And another time he was accused falsely of sexual abuse. Each time, his character was totally brought into question. Each time, he faced the possibility that he could be ruined completely and was vindicated. He's had to stand his wife, leaving him. First of all, having a breakdown and running off with a drug addict they had living with him. And secondly, then running off with another man. He had to face that. And yet he's overcome. There's not an ounce of bitterness in him. Not an ounce of bitterness in him, because he's been given the grace, the strength to stand. You know, I know that strength in my time in Nepal. You've heard me talk about it probably many times. I've known the strength of God, because when you're preaching to a load of people, when you know that some of their situations and you know the desperate plight of their lives, you feel helpless. There is nothing I can do to help them. Absolutely nothing. And here I am offering healing in the name of Jesus. And there's nothing I can do to make it happen. There's nothing I can do. And yet, you do it because you're asked to do it. You do it because you know, actually, it's the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father is to mend the broken things, to strengthen the weak. You know it's his heart. So you proclaim it. You proclaim it. When you know you don't have the power to make it happen, you proclaim it anyway. And then you stand back and God does it. And you know, I was amazed, God. I was really amazed, humbled, completely humbled, because there are times when I was going through the motions, praying, nothing's happening. I'm praying for these people, nothing's happening. I'm praying, I want them to be filled with the Spirit. I desperately want them, but nothing's happening. I want them to receive the healing, but nothing's happening. What am I doing? Shall I stop now? Shall I just go home? That's what the thought's going through my head as I'm praying for one after another person and nothing's happening. And you know what? Those times were the most profound times. Those times when I had the biggest testimonies of healing, the biggest testimonies of fruitfulness of the Spirit, the biggest change in the church, which lasted for years and still going on. Those times are the times when we feel least powerful and we're totally dependent on God, are the times actually when he comes through and actually it's the big spiritual battle that's going on. And our doubt, our own inadequacy, we're feeling the battle. We're feeling it. And the enemy's trying to push in and say, make us back off because he knows there's a victory coming. So if you feel that way yourself, if you're feeling inadequate, if you're feeling like you're needing strength, then don't give up. Push in. Because you're close to a victory. I've found that to be true. And I can't stop. I have to go on to the last point, which is the Father's love. Rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length, the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. What are your dreams? What do you hope for? What do you long for? What burns in your heart? What do you want to be when you grow up? It's a question we ask our kids, ask other people's kids. Ask it of ourselves. What do we want to be when we grow up? Because we're not grown up yet. That's true. We're not mature yet. Because we're not seeing the fullness yet. We are growing. I praise God for that. And I'm not trying to be down on people, because I'm excited by the journey we're on. I'm excited by the progress we're making. I'm excited by the fact we're seeing healing more and more regularly. I'm excited by those things. I'm excited by the amount of faith. I'm excited by things that are happening in the big year. I'm excited what the Spirit is doing in the church. But we're not there yet. There's the fullness that we're pushing into. So what do you want to be when you grow up? What were you meant to be? What were you designed to be? You know, more than anything else, that's the revelation that God has given me, is that God is love. More than anything else. So when he said that he wanted me to lead in this way, then actually I was comfortable. I thought, okay, Lord, well, that's one thing I will definitely do with all my heart, trying to increase the understanding of your love in this place. Because if we were created in God's image, and Genesis 1:26 tells us we are created in the image of God to rule over the earth. If we are created in his image, we attain fullness. Fullness. You only attain fullness. We're only filled up to the fullness of God through understanding his love. We only ever achieve what we were designed for, what we were made for, what God brought this whole world into being for, when we understand his love. That is incredible. Again, that can sound trite, but it's simply profound. If you want to be more like Jesus, the answer is here. You know, we're filled up to a certain point. If you want to be filled up a bit more, there's only one way. You've got to know the breadth. You've got to know the height. You've got to know the depth. You've got to know the length of love. That's the only way. We know, don't we, that kids grow up best in a loving environment. We know that. We know that from our own personal experience. We know it because psychologists tell us. We don't need them to tell us. We know it. We see kids flourish when they're loved. And we see kids stunted, twisted, not become what they're meant to be, but grow up almost broken and deformed when they grow up in harsh environments. We see it. It's the same for us, but we're still growing up. And we grow up best when we're in an atmosphere, when we're rooted and grounded in love. What are you rooted in? What are you grounded in today? Where are you sucking your goodness from? Where are you getting it from? If it's from anything else, you will not achieve fullness. The only way to achieve fullness is the love of God. You can't achieve fullness through your Bible reading. You can't achieve fullness through being a nice Christian. You can't achieve fullness through giving everything away to the poor. You cannot achieve fullness by performing miracles on the street. You cannot achieve fullness by preaching or teaching or prophesying. You cannot achieve fullness in those ways, though they are excellent, as Paul tells us. They are excellent things to do, but they are not the fullness. The fullness comes from love. And Paul says if we do all of those things without love, we're nothing. We're just a noisy gong. And one thing that winds me up and makes me angry is Christians without love. If you do not love someone, do not speak to them. Do not meet with them. You just do damage. Love is where it's at. Love is the transforming power. Love will transform us. Love will transform others. If we want to be mature Christians, that is the thing we must seek above all else. By all means, pursue the spiritual gifts. Eagerly desire them. But now I will show you the most excellent way. A more excellent way. Love. Love. And if you want to know what love is, read 1 Corinthians 13. We haven't got time this morning, but it's a good description, a very practical description of what love means in 1 Corinthians 13. Because we can do all those wonderful things with wrong motives. We can. And then we're nothing unless we understand his love. Because what is most important is the root. What are we rooted in? Is it in our determination to be somebody, to be looked up to be respected, to be spiritual? Or actually is it, are we rooted in love? Simple thing. Do we love everybody that we meet? Do we seek to lead them with a smile on their face? Do we seek to make their lives a better place? Because we've been part of it. What's our motive for doing what we do? That will tell you what your roots are. What's your motive? Why are you going out with each other? What's your motive? Love! Hallelujah! If that's true, your relationship will bear as much fruit as it possibly can. But without it, we're nothing. I was reading Psalm 103, and I just think there's a good description of the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. You know, the breadth of love, as far as the east is from the west, he separated our sins from us. As far as the east is from the west, you can't get wider than that. You can go as far east as like, you can go a bit further. You know, that's the breadth. We're forgiven. We're accepted. Know that. Let's know it. Let's know it. Let's be totally secure in that. As Christians, we should be the most secure people on the face of the planet. Because we know we're accepted. Because we know we're loved. The length from everlasting, it says, to everlasting. His loving kindness is from everlasting to everlasting. That's a long time. That's a long, 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 long time. The length of his love is everlasting to everlasting. From everlasting past to everlasting future. That's his loving kindness. Height. As high as the heavens are above the earth. That's how high is his love for us. As high as the heavens are above. You know, sometimes how much do you love me, you say to a kid. Well, I love you lots, Daddy. I love you that much. How about from as high as the heavens are above the earth? That's how much he loves us. And the depth of his love is his compassion. Like a father, it says, has compassion on his children, so God has compassion on us. That's the depth of his love. When we learn to plumb the depths, and when we learn to reach to the heights and explore the length and the breadth, that's when we grow into the fullness of who we're meant to be. I want to finish there. I know I've gone on probably too long. Sorry about that. But I want to leave us with an opportunity to pray, because God has a banqueting table for us this morning. I know that. I see that every time we pray before meetings, I always see there's a banqueting table, because God is generous. This morning, God has a banqueting table for us. No one should go away hungry this morning. No one should go away unsatisfied this morning. If you go away unsatisfied, it's because you choose not to eat. You choose not to drink. We can all take, actually, from his generous table this morning. He says, come eat without cost. Come drink. All who are thirsty, come drink. And the only way to know this God of love is through the Son. The only way to know the Father is through the Son. Jesus said that. The only way to the Father is through the Son. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. We can know God in all kinds of ways, but intimately, as a loving Father, it's only through Christ, the eternal Son. That's why it's the love of Christ, he says, we should know. The love of the Son for the Father. The love of the Father for the Son. And this morning, the truth is we all need to receive from the Father. Tina, will you come up and just play for us, please? Thank you. Just play a few chords, thanks. Because this morning, the truth is we all need to receive from the Father. Isn't that true? It's true. It's true of me. I need to receive from the Father this morning. Some of us need to name ourselves, maybe for the first time, and say, yeah, if you're there, Lord, come into my life. I need you. Let's close our eyes now. If that is you, if you know this morning, if you felt a beating in your heart, you felt your heart being stirred, and you know that actually you haven't ever known the love of the Father, you've never given your heart fully to the Lord, and I encourage you this morning to take that step. If there is anybody here who would like to know that love, you may not even be sure there's a God there, then I'd like you to put your hand up now. Because today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. There are also some of us, we need to rename ourselves today. We need to re-identify ourselves as children of God today. We felt distant. We felt we've lost a bit of intimacy with the Lord. And actually, it's time to rediscover our identity, to know that we're children of God first and foremost. We know we're accepted. We know that we're loved, highly cherished. To know, actually, the Father's waiting to throw a party for us. If that is you, you need to name it now. You need to name that in your heart right now. I'm not going to ask you to do that physically, but I want you to just name it and claim it today and say, I am a child of God. Please forgive me, Father. Help me rediscover my identity in you, to know that you are my Father in heaven and I am your true son. Some of us are in need and we need to know the provision of the Father. And today is another time to remind the Father of your need and to tell him, maybe even for the first time. Father says, all I have is yours. All I have is yours. All I have is yours. Some of us need to be strengthened in the fight. We may be battling things. Battling finances, battling sickness, battling with relationships, battling with work, battling with all kinds of things. And we need strength. We need strength to overcome, to stand in the evil day. The Father is here this morning to provide strength to overcome. And some of you are wanting to bring hope and healing and mendedness to situations. And the Father is saying, actually, I have that strength too for you today to be anointed by my Spirit. Because that's my Father heart, is to mend things, to mend broken things. And if you want to work with me in mending broken things, I'm going to sing over you. I'm going to sing a love song over you, and we're going to sing it together over broken things, and they're going to be mended. You are going to mend broken things. I prophesy that to you. You will mend broken things in the name of Jesus. And some of us need to grow up in love. We need to actually decide again to root ourselves, to ground ourselves in the love of God. Not in anything else. Forget all we aspire to be, all our hopes, all our dreams, everything. Forget everything that we might think about ourselves, but actually just root ourselves in the love of God. Knowing and being secure in the fact that when we do that, we become the most fruitful person we could ever be. Knowing that we will grow up, we will be filled up to the fullness of our God. So claim one of those things today. Is it the name of the Father you need? Is it the provision of the Father that you need? Is it the strength of the Father that you need? Or is it the love of the Father that you need this morning? You may need all of them. The table is big, the table is vast. And I encourage you now just to reach out as we pray. Reach out now and take from the Father's table. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Minister the love of the Father. Minister the strength of the Father. Minister that provision, Lord God. Open doors that are blocked by the enemy. Open them up, Lord Jesus. Open them up. Open them up. Open them up. Open them up. Minister that provision right now, Lord. Let hearts know this morning that they are loved beyond all things. They are loved. Let hearts know they are named by the Father in heaven as children of the living God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I really want you to minister to one another, if that's possible. I would. You may have named something now. I would like you to go and pray with that. Pray with about that with someone. Maybe someone that you wouldn't normally pray with. Go and just find someone right now and pray with them. Seal it in the Spirit with someone. Because we minister to one another in that way. We do minister the grace of God to one another in our prayers. Don't go before praying with someone. Thank you.